and Mom and Dad said, like, this is where we're going to go. And I remember I was like, oh, this is actually going to happen. And, like, it didn't hit in, didn't sink in until we stepped off the airplane.
Everybody, Doc Brian here, and welcome to Doc Talks. We talk about people's troubles, trials, tribulations, and hopefully triumphs in life. Today, we're in LifeWord Studios, broadcasting in over 161 languages to 127 countries to a potential listening audience of 2 billion people. You can find all of our content at lifeword.org. Today, I have with me Melody. Is it Melody?
Melody.
Yes. I thought when I said it, then I hesitated. Yeah, Melody and Pam Reisner. Missionaries to Romania. But you said, what did you say you were? A third
cultured kid.
A third. And now explain that to me. What exactly does that mean?
Well, I'm originally from America, mm-hmm. but I moved to Romania in eighth grade. Mm-hmm. And then I moved back to America for college, but I'm not quite an American and I'm not quite a Romanian. Gotcha. So I'm a mixture.
Okay. So what was it like? So you moved to Romania when you were in the eighth grade?
Is yeah, that what I was
you
going said? Into the eighth grade.
So what was that like?
It was very interesting. I was just starting, you know, going into high school and figuring that out. And I went from being in public school with like a 5A school to being a homeschooler and just having my two siblings. Mm. So it was a big jump.
Did you play any sports or cheerleading or
band?
I was
a cheerleader.
Okay, so obviously you don't cheerlead in homeschooling.
No.
So it's been a long time since I've been in school, but it seems like cheerleading, that kind of things, are a very close-knit mm-hmm. community.
Yeah.
So what was it like leaving that community of people?
It was very interesting. I was in Morrilton my whole life, so I was in the same house and everything. So I went from knowing everyone in the school. My dad was a school resource officer, and I was a cheerleader since third grade. So I was with the little ones all the way up, and I knew all the boys on the football team, and all the girls were like my sisters, to like not having like a sisterhood anymore. It was just my sister and I, and it was hard. It's a very hard jump.
Yeah. So what was the most difficult thing you think that it took to get acclimated to?
Maybe like just being at home so much. My dad had 2 jobs. He was an officer, like I said, and he was a youth pastor. Then my mom worked at the bank. So from going everywhere and doing everything to being at home a lot, being in my bedroom doing homeschool or in the living room doing homeschool. The only time we were out was doing ministry, but, like, you know, ministry is super hard when you're just getting started. Mm-hmm. So we were at home a lot.
So, and you moved to Romania not knowing the language.
Yeah.
So how did you learn to communicate?
I had only visited there once, mm-hmm. and it was the summer before. My mom and dad told us they were able to bring me and my siblings to Romania, and I had visited once for 2 weeks, and I ended up getting sick on that trip. I had a migraine for most of it, and when I moved there, I didn't know the language. I mispronounced the words that I thought I knew. But the first year, we didn't even do language school. My Romanian language teacher ended up helping me with my English grammar because I went from being in public school to not doing grammar to being forced into a Becca where it was a lot of grammar that I just didn't know.
Yeah. That reminds me of my freshman year of college. My English composition teacher was Italian. And I was a voice major, so my Italian diction teacher was Southern Arkansan.
Oh.
You know, so they helped me kind of connect the dots. So Pam, here as a mom, having an eighth grade girl, which you have 2 girls and a boy, what was that transition like for them? As looking as a mother towards them, what was that like?
It was hard. It was hard. It was lonely. Landon was playing football. For mm-hmm. the school. He had just started. That had been a dream, but he had finally stepped out and had started doing that. So he was surrounded by guys and had friendships. Lindsay was playing soccer, enjoying that very much. She was also doing cross-country running, so she had a team there. So they had teams. They had teams around mm-hmm. them. Both my parents and Brian's parents are within a half an hour of where we lived. So they had that family around them. We had my brothers and yeah, so they had a team. Yeah. They had a family team. They had a friend team. They were familiar with the teachers and support staff at the school. So they had a team there too. They had a team at church. They had a team in the community. They were literally surrounded by a support team, and they made a move honestly, what choice did they have, right? They're finishing seventh grade. It was the summer between seventh and eighth grade. And you can, yes, Brian and I ask them what they thought. We ask them their feelings on it. But what's a seventh grader going to tell you about their feelings moving halfway around the world? Yeah. Yes, Mom, we love Jesus and we're excited to serve him in Romania. You know, so we knew, we made it available for them to share, but they were also, we knew deep down, they were afraid to be super, super honest with their hesitations.
Yeah. So what was that conversation like? I mean, you've been there once on a mission trip, right?
Yeah.
And so now Mom and Dad come and say, hey, we feel like we're being called to Romania. Mm-hmm. What was that conversation like?
I remember it like as if it was yesterday. Mom and Dad called us into the dining room, and our dining room was a deep maroon color, and we were all sitting across, and Mom and Dad were sitting in front of us. And I remember, like, Mom and Dad had already kind of told us what they had in mind, and they had talked to Dr. John David Smith about it, and, you know, it was still in the prayer part of it, you know, like, you're praying about it. We went and visited it, but, you know, like, deep down, I was like, oh, I don't really think it's going to happen, you know, like, our church that we were at, Dad was the youth pastor, was having 60 kids on a Wednesday night. Like, it was going great. And Mom and Dad said, like, this is where we're going to go. And I remember, I was like, oh, this is actually going to happen. Like, I'm going to leave my home I was there for my whole entire life. I lived in the same house, in the same bedroom. I had all the same teachers. Like, it was just what I knew. And so I remember, like, I think I texted my really good friend at the time, and I was like, this is happening. And, like, it didn't hit in, didn't sink in until we stepped off the airplane. And then it was still like, oh, like, you know, we don't know. But when we sent the team back and we were left in Hungary because we were headed back to Romania, and then I was like, crap, like, this is actually happening. Like, I'm going to be here for 2 years until I can come back to America.
At least 2 years.
At least 2 years. That was when we were going to come back on furlough. But it would have been about 5 years until we fully moved back.
Yeah. So being able to remember that it was a maroon kitchen sounds a lot like trauma recall. So, I mean, getting there, not having the close friends, you've gone from public school now to homeschool. Mm-hmm. I mean, there had to be just a whirlwind of emotions, even just transitioning from having this group to now not having. How did you cope with that?
I remember the first week of homeschooling. Me, Mom, and my siblings, and even Dad, I think we cried every single day. And I remember Mom said, we're done. We're quitting. And we quit homeschool for like a week. And we went up, what part of Romania is that?
We went to Slavia County.
Yeah, we went to Slavia County with other missionaries there. And they took care of us because, like, we couldn't figure out how to work the DVDs for Rebecca. And, like, there was just super hard things that we couldn't figure out. And it was just so overwhelming that we quit for like a week and went to Slavia County and helped them with their ministry. Which now they're one of our closest friends in Romania.
Yeah.
But when we moved, we knew two people, the closest. We knew two people out of the whole country.
Yeah. So was homeschool the only option at that point, since you didn't speak the language?
I mean, yes and no. So we could have put them into the public school system in Romania, but because my kids were older, they didn't speak the language. It would have put them behind. And you can't go just into the village school and not speak Romanian. There's not an international school in the village. We didn't live in the capital where there are the options of international schools. And all three of my kids desired to come back to the States in order to go to college. So we knew that they needed to have that Romanian history wouldn't help them when they came back to the States in the future. So It had they been little, we probably would have went with, here you go to village school and learn the language.
Yeah.
That would have been best for them culturally. It would have been best for them with language learning. However, when you're going into the eighth grade and you desire to go back to the college, go back to the States for college, you have to think.
Yeah.
You have to think a little differently. So it was the best choice out of a lot of hard choices. Yeah.
So what do you think the biggest culture shock was, besides not having your friends there? I mean, I could think of a few things, you know, like if my son, who's 9, had to go anywhere where he didn't have cell service or Wi-Fi, he would have a meltdown.
Yeah.
But what was, like, the biggest thing that you lost that you just was a shock to you?
the traditions, my family, especially on either side, really, we're a really close-knit family. I mean, like our holidays, and my grandparents live 30 minutes from me, both sets, and my uncles live within, I don't know, 45 is probably the furthest on my mom's side. Like, it was from having all of the holidays together to our first holiday, like, having nobody. Mm-hmm. And at that point, our other missionary friend wasn't there. She didn't move until a year or so later. So it was just the five of us for our first holidays. Mm-hmm. And I remember, was it our first Thanksgiving, I think? We had Mexican food instead of Thanksgiving food because we just couldn't. We couldn't handle it. Like, it wasn't Thanksgiving like it was for us.
Yeah. I'd have been okay with Mexican food for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it was nice, yeah. But it wasn't Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand that. What about, is the weather kind of the same as far as, you know, is it cold this time of year there?
Yeah, so the weather is pretty similar. It's a bit colder in the winters, especially like when we were in Brasov, which is in the central part of Romania. That's the heart of like the Carpathians and the Transylvanian region. And so we had a lot more snow than what we were used to. But Oradea is towards the Hungarian side of Romania. If you know geography, it's on the Hungarian border. So because of that, it's a bit colder than it is in Arkansas, but we have all the weathers that are pretty much the same.
Yeah. We have four seasons.
Yeah.
They're just more distinct. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have more distinct seasons.
Less humidity, stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing that you really begin to worry about with weather is seasonal affective disorder.
Yes.
Of, you know, are you getting enough sunlight? Are you, you know, is there snow and it rains? I had a friend that moved to Seattle from Durham, North Carolina. He lasted all of 2 weeks,
it's
you know.
It's rough. It's a hard. Real thing. It is dark in Romania by 4:30 in the winter. And so we had only visited in the summers.
Mm-hmm.
Summer, you have daylight till after 10 p.m.
Wow.
And it's gorgeous. It's mm-hmm. such a beautiful place. It's almost magical in the summer. Mm-hmm. We had never visited in the winter. We didn't know that it would be dark at 4:30 and it's cold. It's usually on average in Fahrenheit about 10 degrees colder there than it is here in Arkansas. But it's a longer winter.
Mm-hmm.
You actually have fall and you actually have winter. So your cold, dreary, wet, dark season is longer.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, we had a friend from here in the States who sent me I called it my sad light. I think they're actually called a happy light. But I said it was my sad light because you use it when you're feeling sad.
Yeah, a grow bulb.
I spoke with our counselor and said, like, this is mm-hmm. horrible. This is rough. And she said, get out of the house during the daytime. Leave the house, walk, go for walks, and buy a house plant.
Yeah.
Buy something alive and put it inside your house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that we discount so much about our diet and getting out and being in the sun when it comes to our mental health. You know, one of the fun facts, which I did weird psychology facts on TikTok, my claim to fame, but your serotonin, over 90% of it is not only produced, but stored in your gut. And if you don't drink enough water, if you're not drinking healthy or eating healthy green leafy vegetables, it's not making it to your brain.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we take all of these things. You got to have sunlight to have vitamin D and vitamin C. You have to have that to make norepinephrine, you know, all of these things. And so, so I think I heard you mention, as you were at the church Sunday night, about having a very small yard.
Yeah. Yes, we do have a very small yard.
So how did that work in trying to get outside but being limited in certain ways?
It's actually bigger than our second yard.
Our second yard was even smaller. thankfully, Romania is an outdoorsy country.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So even though your yard is really small, we spend a lot more time outside than you do here in the States, where you have farms for yards,
mm-hmm.
but you actually, unless you're a farmer and you're collecting your cows, you're not actually using it.
Yeah.
So we lived in a village that had mm-hmm. a field behind our house,
mm-hmm.
and we started walking the cornfield. Matter of fact, my son will tell you, well, he told me probably 3 years in that he went to the cornfields to scream when he was frustrated. So I said, you know, hey, whatever you got to do to process those emotions, man, the neighbors probably think we're crazy, but go for it. But no, mm-hmm. Brian and I talk often about those dirt paths, mm-hmm. and we're so glad that they can't talk, because that's what we did. We walked the cornfields to get out in nature, mm-hmm. to get sunlight, and to process, to process.
But also every house, a lot, especially in the village, has terraza, like a patio, like a porch. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Mom, when she does her quiet time or when she drinks her outside coffee, like she's outside, you know, and when it's cold, Mom has like a heater that she has outside, and she still drinks her coffee outside, which I think is crazy because it's like 30 degrees outside, but Mom is outside with her coffee, you know, and when we have friends over and it's warm enough, we're outside hanging out and playing board games.
Yeah.
You know?
Outside's important.
And we don't have AC, so like our windows are open all the time. And so like you're having that natural breeze and stuff to come in as well.
So, yeah, I don't think I could deal with not having air conditioning. So in summertime, like how hot are we talking?
I mean, I think last summer it got up into the 90s.
Say it was really...
It was really hot. But Mom and Dad did get like little, what do you call them?
Like a split unit, a wall unit.
Like a wall unit. And they have one in the living room and one in their bedroom. And so we can open up the doors. And our house is really small compared to American houses. So those two wall units cool down the house. But also our like Romanian houses are made for that. And so, like, we have concrete walls, so it keeps the coldness in just a little bit more. But we have, like, fans that we have in the house. And
you sleep with ice packs if it's super hot.
Like, you figure it out, like, after 5 years.
Yeah. It's a few weeks in the summer.
Yeah, just a couple.
That's really, really, really hot. And the rest of the time, you're just good and hot, not super hot.
Yeah. So, on the last episode with your mom and dad, mm-hmm. we talked about the Russian-Ukraine conflict and how that gave a sense of... not being so safe.
Yeah.
So from the perspective of a missionary's child, how did that feel knowing that that conflict, that war was so close mm-hmm. to you at that point in time?
I think that was probably the hardest couple of months in the beginning I've had in Romania. Luckily, we were in the heart of Romania, so we were some of the safest because we would obviously know when they were coming. Like, we would be alerted. Mm-hmm. Versus if we were in Oradea, where we were only 2 or 3 hours away from the border. But I think, like I was telling my boyfriend later, that, like, the last time we had a war in America was, like, the Civil War. Mm-hmm. Like Americans haven't experienced what it feels like to have war on its borders mm-hmm. or to have war in their own country. So coming from America, where I feel relatively safe, I mean, I've never experienced war. I mean, yes, there's war all around us, but a lot of it's in the Middle Eastern countries and stuff like that. Like, I'm not even close to that.
Right.
Versus being 6 hours away from a war where there's explosions happening all the time. And I remember, like, I was just ready to get out. Like, I was done. Like, I was like, this is not what I signed up for. Like, I'm just supposed to help with the Romanians and the Gypsies. Like, that's all I was supposed to do. And then, like... when Dad talked to the missions office and talked to our security person, and they told us like we were gonna be safe, and I was like, I don't think so, y'all. Like, you're not hearing all of this. And I remember our counselor told Mom, which I thought was super interesting, look at what the Romanians are doing. What are they doing right now? And we had just came back from the grocery store, I think, and a grandfather, like an older elderly man, was buying seed for the planting season. And so I was like, don't they understand what's happening? Like, right next door there's a war. But they had been through this already.
Yeah.
They had done this already. That guy had experienced communism. He had been through the heart of one of the hardest times in our history in Romania. And so I said, okay, well, our family decided if we're going to stay in Romania, we're going to get to work. And so we started working with the Ukrainian refugees. And I think that was some of the most hardest, but the most blessing I got out of my whole time in Romania. I mean, I never felt like I had done so much work until I was sitting and listening to these stories, and we were at the end of it, all these ladies that were helping were smiling and singing, and we walked in one day and they were singing like their national anthem in Ukrainian, and it was, sorry.
You're fine. I cry on this podcast all the time, so don't feel bad about it.
I just hurt my heart because... how can you sing your national anthem when your country's being torn apart? And so, oh, sorry, guys.
You're fine.
And so I just knew that if they can do that every single day, then I can get up and a smile on my face and help them do it.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about the last major terrorist attack we had here in America, which I realized you weren't alive
for. I was not.
For 9/11, and how the country came together in that time. How did you experience the Romanians coming together with the Ukrainians at that point in time?
I had never seen a country help another country so much. I mean, people were opening up their houses, and there was a Facebook group that me and my parents were on where Romanians and Ukrainians were there together, in their own languages saying, "Hey, we have a bedroom. We have two bedrooms. Our parents are with us. You can have their house. We have food." Like, they weren't being selfish. And I feel like this sounds bad, but I don't know if Americans would do that today for another country. Mm. I don't see the Americans helping other countries around us with that, you know?
Well, I would go one step further and say I don't know that Americans would do that for their own neighbors.
Yeah.
As we lived, again, you probably weren't alive, but when Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans, you might have been alive for that.
I don't know.
They brought refugees from New Orleans into Fort Smith, Arkansas, where I was living.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they had police escorts because they would loot Walmarts, you know, in Fort Smith that, you know, they would steal things. And and it was, hey, we want them to go back to where they're from.
Yeah.
And, I mean, when we look at the immigration crisis that we have today.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are leaving for asylum from their countries, how we respond. And, you know, we could go a step farther. You know, where I live in North Little Rock, I don't know for sure that if my neighbor's house burned down, that I would allow them to stay in my house.
Yeah.
You know, as much as I love them and I appreciate them, I don't know that I would do that.
Yeah, that was a culture shock for sure, coming back. And, I mean, I was, like I said before, I was going into eighth grade when I came from America. So, coming from eighth grade and not really noticing the world. I mean, I didn't really notice America, you know. I had cheerleading I was working on, and I had classes I was doing to coming back to college. And, of course, you know, the international students are my people. Like, I grew up there for 5 years in Romania. And so, like, I was watching how, like, the students on campus were responding and stuff. And I was like, y'all, like, we're all people. Like, y'all need to calm down. Like, you know, and so I ended up being on student staff for my school this previous summer because my goal was to help the international students. And I became pretty good friends with them. And I went, and me and Skylar, my boyfriend, had taken them to the grocery store a couple of times this semester if they needed it. And they sit at our table, and we laugh and share stories, and it's really nice.
So how do you feel that being in Romania as a missionary child is going to positively affect the rest of your life?
Well, I surrendered to the education department this previous summer after going to Africa because I said, like these children are what I want to do for the rest of my life, you know? And, like, I told my parents, I said, like, Romania is no longer my mission field, but I feel like the education department, the education schooling, especially in public school, is my mission field, especially with how chaotic, I guess I can say, the education is in public school right now, and how, like, if we're talking about, like, mentally for these children, with all the corruption they're getting brought into their brain from the education and the teachers, like, that's what I need to do. And so Romania has taught me to work with people that I never thought I would work with. You know, for 5 years I was working in a second language with these other people, and we were working in English and Romanian, and at some points, Gypsy, and sometimes we were working in Ukrainian or Russian, depending on what it was, and it's easy for me at this point. I wouldn't say, like I'll have to relearn how to do some of that, but it comes back naturally, and that will help me succeed in so much.
And I would certainly be of the opinion that being a school teacher is a calling.
Yes.
It's not just a job. It's something that you have to be called to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just yesterday, we saw in Madison, Wisconsin, a shooting in a private school, a private Christian school.
Yeah.
And so we see the chaos.
Yeah.
You know, when your mom and I grew up in school, that wasn't something we worried about.
Yeah.
The main things we worried about was fire drills and tornado drills, probably if you grew up in Arkansas. And they taught us how to stop, drop, and roll. Did they teach you that?
They did.
Yeah. So, I mean, we were prepared to be caught on fire more than any likelihood of it ever happening. But now just the sheer trauma of children having to go through live shooting drills, you know, brings on a whole new perspective of mental health in a public school and private school platform. So how do you think you would be prepared to help? I mean, let's look back here of the Romanians helping the Ukrainians. Yeah. How are you going to help in education to help some of these people fit in where they seemingly wouldn't?
Yeah, I think, you know, with me, I am wanting to do lower elementary. So we're talking second, third, fourth grade, hope not fourth grade. But, you know, if God calls me there, I'll do it. Yeah. But these are little guys, you know, we're still learning spelling words, you know, and time and time again, we see on the news where these guys are being killed in school shootings. And I'm like, they don't even know how to spell their last name yet. Yeah. And they're having to deal with trauma of their best friend being shot and killed.
Yeah. Well, yesterday, the first call to 911 was from a second grader. And I couldn't imagine, you know, my son is fourth grade, which your brother gets to put up with him. and I couldn't imagine him being put in the situation where he had to make that call for help. I definitely think it's a calling to do. Now, I'm going to ask you this question, and your mom can close her ears if she wants to. But what do you think was the worst thing that happened as a missionary's kid that will affect you for the rest of your life?
This sounds so bad, but sometimes furlough can be the hardest part of any ministry. And that sounds so bad, and I love the churches that are supporting us, and I'm sorry, guys, if y'all are watching, but, you know, like, we're going, well, how many churches did we go on our first furlough?
I don't know, it was over 25.
It was over 25 in 3 months.
28 to 30, I guess. Wow.
That's every single Sunday, morning and night, and every Wednesday, not including the families that we were having dinners with throughout the week. We were exhausted, you know, and we say that sometimes you have to take a furlough from your furlough because you're mentally and physically exhausted by the time you're done, you know, and poor dad's saying the same sermon for 3 months in a row. And
well, he got really good at it.
He got really good, you know, and especially as like a missionary kid, it's a little different now that I'm no longer on the field with them and I have my own church that I go to, but we were hearing the same sermons for those 3 months as well. You know, and sometimes I think those 3 months you're not being spiritually fed either, you know. You're spiritually feeding the people that you're ministering to, but your own family can lack that spiritual growth because you're so busy that you're sleeping as much as possible, you know, and you're in the car so much, so like you're wanting to rip each other's heads off because you're tired of each other. And I think it was our second furlough that we kind of had a rhythm afterwards and we were only doing Sundays. But even then, I mean, being right by the missions office, people are coming and going, and you have to keep your house super clean. It's like if you're selling your house and your house has to be clean 24/7. There's three of us siblings. There's me and my sister and then my brother and then mom and dad. There's five of us living in a house, and it's never clean, you know, and so having to pick up and make sure your bed's made and stuff like that can be tiresome.
So if you could give a piece of advice to any child whose parents feel like they're being called to a mission field, and they're in that kind of place where, hey, I'm going to have to leave all this behind, and this is a possibility, what would your advice be to them?
Have your parents reach out to someone that's already been through it, and get a counselor before you go on the mission field.
Yeah, that's great. Melody, thank you.
Thank you.
And Pam, thank you for being here with us today. Of course, I'm Doc Brian. You can find me at thedocbrian.com. And we're at LifeWord Studios. You can find all of our content at lifeword.org. Thank you for being here with us today. We'll talk to you soon. Goodbye.